I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were involved.
You are very racist.
He said you're going to be dealt with.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, January 31st, 2024, the last day of the month of January in 2024. And thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Maybe we'll talk about the telepathy stuff, the Neuralink and telepathy stuff this morning. The details, you know, so much of these kinds of things I assume and presume that we all know, and so I don't usually get into that, but I think we will a little bit today. First couple of things. The announcements. Actually, before we do that, let's do the prayer thing. Shall we? As I have been saying, I intend to start each broadcast with prayer. We'll see what happens. I think it makes a difference. We have to make sure that we set aside our hypocrisy and double-mindedness, which is part of the prayer. Because if we don't, as James reminds us in chapter 1, we ought to expect nothing. So, with that in mind, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit. And help us to pray at all times in the Spirit. I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper. I pray that all who walk in error would come to know the truth. I pray that our hypocrisy and double-mindedness be revealed, that unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, and wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the announcements quickly. There's the Dear RBN letter. this is a listener supported network, and so your support is vital and essential. Thank you. If you support the network, thank you. You are the Republic Broadcasting Network, as the letter says, dear RBN. And if you don't currently support the network, or you haven't in a while, guess what? This is the last day for the quilt raffle. The RBN Rebel Madman Rabble Razor. So call in quickly for your opportunity. Make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win the package, which contains the, which includes the Confederate battle flag quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, bumper stickers, fun stuff. You can check that out on the website, and call in 800-724-2719 extension 3 to participate. The winner will be determined after today. Today is the last day, so there you go. Again, details on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. You can also support the network in a variety of other ways. Again, see the website. There's the donate button. You can call, again, 800-724-2719 extension 3, or you can mail check or money order payable to RBN. Send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can do all those things and support the network in all of those ways. It's a different kind of an animal, you know. I don't think that you, I think most of what you see floating around out there is what I would construe as controlled opposition. I said at the beginning of this year, one of the things that's floating around in my mind, my list of New Year's resolutions includes no compromise. Not in a mean way, but really, again, just sort of dispensing with the hypocrisy and double-mindedness, because I think that really is as detrimental as anything. And I really think if we're honest with ourselves, far too often we capitulate to bad things. Where is the line? And that, you know, touches on some things that I've broached, which includes the shape of the earth, you know. And as I keep saying, and I'll keep saying, it's not about the shape of the earth. It's about honoring God and his creation and not denying him, which I think is, you know, we'll get into that more, I think, as we go. But this is all, again, I mean, I've said this year, I want to talk about war. Perception management is a big part of that. Always has been, but more than ever now, it is. And you know, how often do we get roped into something, or how often do we not object to things that we, you know, shouldn't even be an option? Revelation 21:8, but the coward, well, yeah, let me back up. Revelation 21 is interesting. Jerusalem figures prominently, speaking of what's going on in this crazy nonsense. There is the battle for, you know, to sort of preempt the new Jerusalem, and the esoteric types call it Shambhala, this new spiritual paradise. And so that, I would call that, generally speaking, the counterfeit New Jerusalem. But Jerusalem figures prominently, and a lot of the things that are ascribed to Israel are actually, if you look closer, it's Jerusalem. and the New Jerusalem. And there is this physical and spiritual, you know, this is where the metaphysicians come in and try to preempt certain things, including the New Jerusalem. But that's what you see in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. That's interesting. And there is no longer any sea. That's also interesting. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, so, you know, ask yourself in the churchy circles, what is the bride of Christ? People will tell you a certain thing. According to Revelation 21, clearly that seems to be wrong. And if you ask somebody to chapter and verse that, they won't be able to. So that's interesting. Speaking of perception management, and what you will find is when somebody says, well, the church is the bride. First of all, that's not true. And if you see in Revelation 21, it's actually the New Jerusalem, verses 2, 9, and 10, say that clearly, you will realize that saying the church is the bride is a form, a subtle, sly form of replacement theology known as supersessionism. How did that happen? Why did that happen? Isn't that interesting? And it plays tricks on your mind. If you can set that aside and realize the New Jerusalem is the bride, well, then that means certain people aren't as special and important and fancy as they thought they, you know, may have thought, not intentionally, but, you know, this concept plays tricks on your mind. And so suddenly you realize, not so special, those people are special too. Actually, God's the one who's special. It puts things in proper perspective. I digress. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Well, man, I don't know about you, but that sounds refreshing. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. That's the perfect tense in Greek, continually making all things new. And I think my understanding and belief is that that means that by his, in at least one sense, that means by his very nature, his presence is continually making all things better than new. Behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But then verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I feel Fred in Iowa, sort of, you know, I'm reminded of Fred there. But this idea, the cowardly and unbelieving, at what point do I deny him if I deny what he says in his word or all around me, as he says in Romans 1, so that they are without excuse? So just something to think about in terms of compromise. On this day, briefly, some interesting fun facts. Born on this day, Franz Schubert, Jackie Robinson. Died on this day, A.A. Milne, Edwin Armstrong, and, of course, Guy Fawkes. On this day in 1606, and 400 and change years later, we're still talking about it, which is interesting. Publicly executed, and we still talk about it to this day. And just a few other fun facts from history. In 1865, Congress passed, allegedly, the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery, ostensibly. I feel like every time we talk about slavery, we should play Walter E. Williams' working definition of slavery. The misuse of one person for the purposes of another, I think, is generally, broadly how he put it, a good working definition of slavery. In other words, it's, you know, somewhat voluntary. So, you know, but that is not to be controversial. You know, again, I think those lines must be drawn for each person individually, because the Bible has what some might construe as contradictory information when it comes to this. I mean, Romans 13 is the quintessential controversy, right? This is the passage we all hear about, go to. Are we really supposed to be in subjection to the governing authorities? For there is no authority except from God. Those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. Well, what are we supposed to do then? Well, the question is, who's in charge? Who decides? 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king, to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. That's the Christian brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. And if I could take a little bit of license there, perhaps. The idea is, in so doing, we, rather than, you know, kind of like Paul says in Romans 12, rather than taking matters into our own hands, so to speak, by being obedient to God, these people are, we get out of the way and they're accountable. Even, you know, in the American experiment of by and for the people, those essentially, you know, that we don't deal with ourselves are left to God. But if we get in the middle of that and they're accountable to us, so to speak, then I kind of feel like we hear Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, you have your reward. So there's Romans 13, there's, you know, 1 Peter 2 as examples, but then there's Acts chapter 4 and 5, right? Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And then in Acts chapter 5, they, here they are again. Put simply, Peter and the apostles answer, we must obey God rather than men. Who's in charge? Who decides? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back. Let's see. Other fun facts on this day. Like I said, 1865, the 13th Amendment ostensibly passed, ostensibly abolishing slavery. But again, Walter E. Williams, that we should play that clip. Remember, keep in mind, he said, a good working definition of slavery is the misuse of one person for the interests of another. 1865, General Robert E. Lee named Commander-in-Chief of Confederate Armies during the Uncivil War, the War of Northern Aggression, a.k.a. Eastern European Banking Aggression, 1943, Field Marshal, German Field Marshal Friedrich Paulus surrendered to Soviet troops in Stalingrad. In 1950, President Truman publicly announced support for the development of a hydrogen bomb. And there are a few other, 1949, some other stuff. 1949, the first daytime soap opera, These Are My Children, was broadcast by NBC. In 1971, Apollo 14 was launched as a manned mission to the moon. Where is Stanley Kubrick when we need him? In 1983, the new seatbelt law went into force, meaning drivers and front seat passengers must wear seatbelts, and it's been downhill ever since. In 2006, Ben Bernanke was approved as chairman to succeed Alan Greenspan, the tail wagging the dog. It's been downhill ever since. My favorite, unfavorite memory of Bernanke is that speech that he gave a few years prior at Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, that's still on the Federal Reserve website to this day, federalreserve.gov, even though the Federal Reserve is not a gov. And so remarks by Governor Ben S. Bernanke at the conference to honor Milton Friedman, November 8, 2002. And he closed his speech, the conclusion. He said, let me end my talk by abusing slightly my status as an official representative of the Federal Reserve. I would like to say to Milton and Anna regarding the Great Depression, you're right, we did it. We're very sorry, but thanks to you, we won't do it again. And so, you know, it was just a few years from that moment, a couple years after his appointment, tail wagging the dog, that, you know, we had the subprime contagion that toxified the whole world. So that's fun. WikiQuotes quote of the day today is from Norman Mailer, which I think applies with force, speaking of the state of things. It is a misperception of me that I am a wild man. I wish I still were. I'm 68 years old. The rage now is, oh, so deep, it's almost comfortable. It has even approached the point where I can live with it philosophically. The world's not what I want it to be. But then no one ever said I had the right to design the world, which is ironic because some people think they have that right. And I think it's interesting as we sort of move on that if you go back and research the plot, you know, perhaps beginning with or including Nesta Webster's World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, that was published in 1921, you will see that this idea that all property is theft emerges from these ne'er-do-wells that want to plan everyone's life for them. And it just keeps re-emerging, this idea known as expropriation, you know, to wrest even the possibility of owning property from people. And isn't it interesting that now we have the World Economic Forum says by 2030 everyone will own nothing and be happy. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. So, speaking of patterns and pattern recognition, Nesta Webster in World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, begins discussing property is theft in Chapter 3, The Conspiracy of Babouf, on page 56, I believe. Yeah. So they're having these committees during the French Reign of Terror, and she writes, here the scheme of social revolution was elaborated. Starting from the premise that all property is theft, it was decided that the process known in revolutionary language as expropriation must take place. That is to say, all property must be wrested from its present owners by force, the force of an armed mob. But Babouf, whilst advocating violence and tumult as the means to an end, in no way desired anarchy as a permanent condition. The state must be maintained, and not only maintained, but made absolute. We should worship it, like these goofballs all think. But, you know, who ultimately constitutes the state? Not only maintained, but made absolute. The sole dispenser of the necessities of life. In my system of common happiness, he wrote, I desire that no individual property shall exist. The land is God's, and its fruit belong to all men in general. And I say, you first. Another Babu Vista, the Marquis d'Antonelle, formerly a member of the Revolutionary Tribunal, had expressed the matter in much the same words. Quote, the state of communism is the only just, the only good one. Without this state of things, no peaceful and really happy societies can exist. Wait a second. The Marquis d'Antonelle used the term communism? He died in 1817, I thought. So anyway, these ideas are much older than we realize. At the end of yesterday's broadcast, James had a little fun. Speaking of, I think it was Descartes and the Jesuit math. And I mentioned the Gutenberg movable type printing press, which obviously accelerated the dissemination of things thereafter, and so it was off to the races. Anyway, I want to back up a little bit, speaking of Nesta Webster's World Revolution in Chapter 3 and pattern recognition. The rhyme of history. Was it Mark Twain or Disraeli? You know, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. So I'm thinking, you know, Carrie Lake, Jeff DeWitt, Donald Trump, and the French Reign of Terror kind of thing. Anyway. We'll see. Maybe I'm imagining things, but let me just read this and see if this rings a bell a little bit. So from Nesta Webster's World Revolution, Chapter 3, The Conspiracy of Babeuf, beginning of the chapter. François Noël Babeuf was born in 1762. This doesn't make sense, or does it? You're trying to like, why is this happening? Why is he doing this? Why would he bite the hand that feeds him, seemingly? François Noël Babeuf was born in 1762, and at the beginning of the Reign of Terror, occupied the post of commissary in the supply department of the commune, where he incurred the displeasure of the committee the Salut Public by publishing a placard accusing the committee of a plan to drive the people to revolt by means of a fictitious famine and so provide a pretext for killing them off. This sort of reminds me of, you know, a lot of the hyperbolic stuff that we hear going on these days everywhere. We're just marinating in hyperbolic language everywhere. And part of the reason why I don't talk about some of the, you know, the headlines is because you can't really touch it without, I think, giving some sort of credence or putting your shoulder to the wheel and furthering the momentum of the hysteria, which I obviously don't want to do. So, continuing, incurred the displeasure by publishing a placard accusing the committee of a plan to drive the people to revolt by means of a fictitious famine and so provide a pretext for killing them off. For this offense, Babeuf and his colleagues in the same department were thrown into prison, but Babeuf, being apparently regarded as mentally irresponsible, was soon afterwards released. And once more, proceeded to attack the party in power, which was no other than that of Robespierre, Couthon, and Saint-Just. This is the more remarkable, since the political opinions of Babeuf were entirely in accord with those of the triumvirate. For Robespierre's Declaration of the Rights of Man, Babouf entertained the warmest admiration. This reminds me of the Lake DeWitt, you know, struggle. But where at this point in his career Babouf joined issue with Robespierre was in the method by which this ideal system should be brought about. For the plan of reducing the population of France by some 15 millions in order to be able to provide bread and work for the remainder, which Babouf later described as the immense secret, quote unquote, of the terror, seemed to him too drastic. And in his pamphlet Sur la Depopulation de la France, he denounced the noyade, fusillade, guillotinade, which is drownings, shootings, and guillotinings that had decimated the province's methods, which he held should not have been adopted until pacific measures for winning the peasants over the republicanism had at least been attempted. So, you know, we may disagree on means, but we don't disagree on ends, is, I think, a common thread. And so what's going on in Arizona, for example? That's just one example. Anyway, moving right along. And, you know, so this takes me to, from there, you know, the rhyme of history is, I think of Kurzweil, I'm, you know, spoiler alert a little bit, Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines. Chapter 11, 2029. Just go there real fast. Because we can. Chapter 11, 2029. This was published in 1999. Kurzweil wrote, this is the prediction. His computer, you know, his digital companion on his trip to the future, wink, wink. Probably the same companion that Alice Bailey had in writing her stuff, and Blavatsky and all of them. It's interesting when you read theosophical stuff and they say, you know, when there's clearly overlap and we think plagiarism, they go, well, you know, maybe they all just sort of had the same common idea. I wonder where they got that common idea. Anyway, in chapter 11, titled 2029, published chapter 11 of Ray Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, which was published back in 1999. Kurzweil predicts, air quotes, by 2029, this is what we can expect. Displays are now implanted in the eyes with a choice of permanent implants. By the way, 2029 is 5 years away. There's also the externalization of the hierarchy stuff by 2025, big transition. You know, as I said previously, World Economic Forum thinks by 2030 it's going to be wow, you know, including you'll own nothing and like it. So displays are now implanted in the eyes with the choice of permanent implants or removable implants, similar to contact lenses. I'm already horrified. How about you? Images are projected directly onto the retina, providing the usual high-resolution three-dimensional overlay on the physical world. These implanted visual displays also act as cameras to capture visual images and thus are both input and output devices. Yay, we are our own, you know, speaking of data is the new oil. Holy cow. Are we getting paid for going around spying on each other all the time? Continuing, cochlear implants originally used just for the hearing impaired. This is still, we're going to get to Neuralink and their telepathy product, which is an interesting neologism, as Brzezinski would say. So Elon and pals over at Neuralink are advertising their telepathy product as something that, you know, does these kinds of things. Oh, it helps those who are shut-ins. That's what it does. Person who, you know, is paralyzed, quadriplegic, can now communicate. Anyway, continuing, cochlear implants originally used just for the hearing impaired are now ubiquitous. These implants provide auditory communication in both directions between the human user and the worldwide computing network. There seems to be an emphasis, if I didn't know better, on this idea of, you know, using us as walking microphones and cameras. Continuing, direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. This allows bypassing certain neural regions. For example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory, and augmenting or replacing the functions of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. Which is horrifying. Are we properly horrified by this, or are we just sort of desensitized to it? Last sentence. A range of neural implants is becoming available to enhance visual and auditory perception in and interpretation, memory, and reasoning. But again, neural implants, back to the previous paragraph. This allows bypassing certain neural regions, for example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory, and augmenting or replacing these functions, the functions of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. How convenient. Yeah. Who would want to do that? Who would want to bypass or replace certain, you know, regions of the brain? Visual pattern recognition, long-term memory. I mean, call me crazy, but I just have this notion that somebody's going to want to try to mess with my head. There's the video that Aaron and Melissa Dykes did a million years ago, years and years ago. I forget what it's titled, but they featured all of the clips from the Rockefeller Foundation annual reports through the 40s, through the 50s, on and on, where they kept talking about trying to study human behavior and understand it and eventually control it entirely. And so where has the funding for this kind of technological research come for the last half century or more? So, you know, where has the technology come from to, you know, advance the research of folks like Jose Delgado at Yale to control or to stop the herd beast, otherwise known as man? So where are we today? Well, NPR story, what to know about Elon Musk's Neuralink, which put an implant into a human brain, published yesterday. Story by Bill Chappell. This one is at NPR. From the article, Elon Musk says his ambitious plan to let humans wirelessly connect to their brains with phones and other devices has taken a new step. They have to sell it, and they have to make it sound good, because just grabbing people like lab mice and, you know, clipping something on our brains is a little too aggressive than we're ready for. Or, you know, sticking stuff in us like the bull, Delgado's bull, you know, again, a little too, we're not too horrifying. You got to sell it. You got to sell the benefit. You can connect wirelessly to all your devices. So Elon says, you know what? You can connect to everything, your cell phones, your laptops, and all that wirelessly and control them with your thoughts. You can control pretty much any device. And so, you know, he tweeted and said, let's see. He said, are we headed into a break? I don't hear anything. Yeah, we're headed into a break. We'll read the tweet when we come back. But, I don't know. Buckle up. It's pretty gruesome, I think, this technology and what has happened. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life. to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Horrifying stuff. We'll get into the specifics here in the second hour and do calls and stuff. But so Elon Musk tweeted a couple of days ago, January 29th, enables control of your phone or computer, or, you know, X'd, whatever you call it now, and through them, almost any device just by thinking. Initial users will be those who have lost their the use of their limbs. Like I said, you know, Kurzweil, you know, straight out of the playbook of Kurzweil 25 years ago. Imagine if Stephen Hawking could communicate faster than a speed typist or auctioneer. That is the goal. And I reposted that on X, I guess, now. Imagine if Elon Musk used his own mind control implant on himself. I mean, I understand, you know, it reminds me of Fauci being asked, you know, why haven't we done any controlled studies testing the entirely unvaccinated against vaccinated to whatever degree, see what the differences are. And Fauci says, oh, that would be, you know, Estelle Getty says that would be irresponsible because, you know, to not vaccinate people is just, it's inhumane, according to Fauci. Clever. That's clever. Isn't that cute? So I'm sure Elon's argument would be something, or I would anticipate anyway, that it would be something like, well, you know, I haven't lost the use of my limbs, and so this technology should be reserved for those who, you know, since it's, we have such limited and sparing application of it at this point, we should reserve it to those who have lost their limbs, the use of their limbs. But I'm not buying it. So what's the problem, Chris? I mean, well, I will tell you. Wired Magazine did a write-up about this technology, and it was horrifying what's been going on. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. We'll do phone calls and all that fun stuff. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.